answer to the question. There's a reason for the rhyme. There's a king who sits in heaven. Through his death we have found life. Among us as a man, brought salvation to a fallen world. Sins washed away as we repent, and all the saints sing.
So afraid, so fearful that you lied. But me, you don't remember. You don't give me a thought. I have held my peace so long that you no longer fear me. Few know what the fear of Yehovah is. Due to popular proverbs and psalms, the pursuit of wisdom, and I put that in quotes, is far and wide. Schools, churches, universities, and technical studies abound. But have you ever wondered what the fear is? I'm here to tell you it's not pretty. When you see and hear what Yehovah's perspective is, and we know he does not change, well, you do the math. How many times have you heard this scripture? And we now know from last week's Havara titled, It Is Written, What Scripture Is, The Fear of the Lord is the Beginning of Wisdom. Let's look at where that comes from. This is not for the faint of heart. This is not for the He Knows My Heart crowd. This is not for the ones who ask, Where's the love of the Lord? This is for the ones that want to know our God, for the ones that want to have wisdom, for the ones that inquire, just what is the fear of the Lord? Here's a couple I have found, and I suggest you hold on to your hats. This will not be pretty. Proverbs 9:10. Wisdom has built herself a house. She has carved her 7 pillars. She has prepared her food, spiced her wine, and has set her table. She has set out her young girls with invitations. She calls from the heights of the city. Whoever is unsure of himself, turn into here. To someone weak-willed, she says, Come and eat my food, drink the wine I have mixed. Don't stay unsure of yourself, but live. Walk in the way of understanding. He who corrects a scoffer only gets insulted. Reproving a wicked man becomes his blemish. If you reprove a scoffer, he will hate you. If you reprove a wise man, he will love you. Give to a wise man, and he grows still wiser. Teach a righteous man, and he will learn still more. The fear of Yehovah is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of holy ones is understanding. For with me, your days will be increased, years will be added to your life. If you are wise, your wisdom helps you, but if you scoff, you bear the consequences alone. Psalm 111:1. Hallelujah! I will wholeheartedly give thanks to Yehovah in the council of the upright and in the assembly. The deeds of Yehovah are great, greatly desired by all who enjoy them. His work is full of majesty and splendor, and his righteousness continues forever. He has gained renown for his wonders. Yehovah is merciful and compassionate. He gives food to those who fear him. He remembers his covenant forever. Forever, people, forever. He shows his people how powerful he works by giving them the nations as their inheritance. The works of his hands are truth and justice. All his precepts can be trusted. They have been established forever and ever to be carried out truly and honestly. He sent redemption to his people and decreed that his covenant should last forever. His name is holy and fearsome. The first and foremost point of wisdom is the fear of Yehovah. All those living by it gain good common sense. His praise stands forever. Now, we have the supporting lines that say, Fear Yehovah. But why, might I ask? Because everything that happens to the omnipotent is from Yehovah's perspective. Did you ever realize or give that any thought? If you step on my toe, it didn't hurt you, but from my perspective, it hurt terribly. Whose perspective do we look at, mine or yours? In the toe-stepping incident, one would hope that you would do unto others as you would have others do unto you and honor the golden rule. Since the toe-stepping didn't specifically hurt you, it could be said that it hurt me, so my perspective is what counts in the matter. That's for the empathetic and the compassionate type in nature. So that being said, this message is for you. We, I feel your pain types, can easily understand the concept of looking from another's point of view and highly suggest that this be the tact that you take with this message. Anything less will, and I don't say can, it will be your undoing. We have to look at things from Yehovah's perspective. He is and will be our judge via Yeshua, via Moshe, when the end of time comes. Don't forget, we're under grace right now, meaning the period of time before the law goes into effect. We'd best remember that. We have to practice the law now so that when the law goes in effect, we got it. I did a search on StudyLight.org and on the Complete Jewish Translation for the words from perspective. The results were terrifying. The first words I saw were Genesis 38:7. But Er, Yehuda's firstborn, or Judah, was evil from Yehovah's perspective, so Yehovah killed him. Yehuda said to Onan, go and sleep with your brother's wife. Perform the duty of a husband's brother to her and preserve your brother's line of descent. However, Onan knew that the child would not count as his, so whenever he had intercourse with his brother's wife, he spilled the semen on the ground so as not to give his brother offspring. What he did was evil from Yehovah's perspective, so he killed him too. Then Yehuda said to Tamar, his brother-in-law, stay a widow. Stay a widow in your father's house until my son Shelah grows up. For he thought, I don't want him to die too like his brothers. So Tamar went and lived at home with her father. That's an interesting first perspective, but that's what it was. I hope the next view is better. Let's look out his windows again. Judges 2:11. When Yehoshua, the son of Nun, Nun, spelled N-U-N but pronounced Noon, the servant of Yehovah died, he was 110 years old, and they buried him near the boundary of his property in Timnath Heres in the hills of Ephraim, north of Mount Gaash. When that entire generation had been gathered to their ancestors, another generation arose that knew neither Yehovah nor the work he had done for Israel. Whenever I hear that line, I automatically go back to Yosef, because that's the first thing they said that was written about Yosef, was another king arose that didn't know Joseph. I love that perspective. Then the people of Israel did what was evil from Yehovah's perspective and served the Baalim. They abandoned Yehovah, the God of their fathers, who had brought them out of the land of Egypt, and followed other gods. Other gods selected from the gods of the people around them and worshipped them. Verse 12 of Judges 2. This made Yehovah angry. They abandoned Yehovah and served Baal and the Ashtaroth. The anger of Yehovah blazed against Israel, and he handed them over to pillagers who plundered them and to their enemies around them so that they could no longer resist their enemies. Whenever they launched an attack, the power of Yehovah was against them, so that things turned out badly, just as Yehovah had said would happen and had sworn to them. They were in dire distress. So where is the love of the Lord? The last words I see are dire distress because of no love for the Lord. Seems he thinks they lost their love for him. They didn't house it properly at all. We're going to continue on to Judges 2:16. I hope we learn a lesson here. But when Yehovah raised up judges who rescued them from the power of those who were plundering them, yet they did not pay attention to their judges, but made whores of themselves to other gods and worshipped them. They quickly turned away from the path on which their ancestors had walked, the way of obeying Yehovah's mitzvot. They failed to do this. When Yehovah raised up judges for them, Yehovah was with the judge and delivered them from the hands of their enemies throughout the lifetime of the judge. For Yehovah was moved to pity by their groaning under those oppressing and crushing them. But after the judge died, they would relapse into worse behavior than that of their ancestors, following other gods to serve and worship them. They abandoned none of their practices or their stubborn ways. So the anger of Yehovah blazed against Israel. He said, Because this nation violates my covenant, which I ordered their fathers to obey, and they don't pay attention to what I say. In the future, I will not expel ahead of them any of the nations that Yehoshua left when he died. This is how I will test Israel, to see whether or not they will keep the way of Yehovah, living according to it as their ancestors did. So Yehovah allowed these nations to remain where they were without quickly driving them out, and he did not hand them over to Yehoshua. Continuing on to chapter 3 of Judges. These are the nations which Yehovah allowed to remain in order to put to test all the people of Israel who had not known any of the wars with Canaan. This was only so that the generations of Israel who had previously known nothing of war might learn about it. These nations consisted of the five chiefs of the Philistine, all the Kenai, the Sidoni, and the Hivi who lived in the hills of Lebanon between Mount Baal Hermon and the entrance to Hamath. They stayed there to test whether Israel would pay attention to the mitzvot of Yehovah, which through Moshe he had ordered their ancestors to obey. So the people of Israel lived among the Kenai, the Hittai, the Emori, the Perizzi, the Hivi, and the Yebusi, taking their daughters as wives, giving their own daughters to their sons, and serving their gods. Thus, the people of Israel did what was evil from Yehovah's perspective, forgot Yehovah their God, and served the Baalim and the Asherim. Therefore, the anger of Yehovah blazed against Israel, and he gave them over into the hands of the Cushan Rishathaim, king of Aram Naharaim. And the people of Israel served Cushan Rishathaim 8 years. 8 years! Now, we must not forget that our God never changes. Are you catching my drift here? If he did it once, he'll do it again. He never changes. My goal is to learn what is evil from Yehovah's perspective so that I don't find myself with the power of Yehovah against me. That's a scary thought. If he did it with his chosen ones, what chance do I stand? I could just as well be heir, Yehuda's firstborn, or I could be one that he's enlightened. Given we're meeting here today, I believe it's the latter, else I wouldn't be shaking in my boots relating the truths regarding his character. Few see this side of our God. My only salvation in all this is the statement he made to Moshe in Exodus 33:17. Yehovah said to Moshe, I will also do what you have asked me to do, because you have found favor in my sight, and I know you by name. But Moshe said, I beg you, show me your glory. He replied, I will cause all my goodness to pass before you, and in your presence I will pronounce my name. Moreover, I show favor to whomever I will, and I display mercy to whomever I will. But my face, he continued, you cannot see, because a human being cannot look at me and remain alive. He knew Moshe by name, our all-knowing, all-powerful, heaven is my throne, earth is my footstool, found in Isaiah 66. Our all-knowing, all-powerful God said, I know you by name. How many in this day and age can he say that about now? And, which further begs the question, how does one accomplish that? Well, I guess we need to read Isaiah 66 to find out. Heaven is my throne, says Yehovah, and earth is my footstool. What kind of a house could you build for me? What sort of a place could you devise for my rest? Didn't I myself make all these things? This is how they came to be, says Yehovah. The kind of person on whom I look with favor is one with a poor and humble spirit who trembles at my word. Those others might as well kill a person as an ox, as well break a dog's neck as sacrifice a lamb, as well offer pig's blood as offer a grain offering, as well bless an idol as burn incense. Just as these have chosen their ways and enjoy their disgusting practices, So I will enjoy making fools of them and bring on them the very things they fear. I recall hearing Job say something to that effect. For when I called, no one answered. When I spoke, they did not hear. Instead, they did what was evil in my sight and chose what did not please me. David, in Psalm 51, after his bout with Uriah and Bathsheba, gave us some insight as to what is pleasing Yehovah and what might show him our name as well. Few read the complete text. It's an enlightening piece of work. Remember, David was a man after God's own heart. We do well to heed the words that are spoken. Sprinkle me with hyssop, a common temple practice for cleansing from sin. Make me whiter than snow. Lots and lots of hymns focus on that. But what about the sacrifice it takes to accomplish that cleansing? Remember, David was forgiven, but the consequences of his actions did not go away. He spent a week or more in fasting and prayer, and his son with Bathsheba still died. It was consequences, nothing more, nothing less. God, in your grace, have mercy on me. In your great compassion, blot out my crimes. Wash me completely from my guilt and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my crimes. My sin confronts me all the time. Against you and you only have I sinned and done what is evil from your perspective, so that you are right in accusing me and justified in passing sentence. True, I was born guilty, was a sinner from the moment my mother conceived me. Still, you want truth in the inner person. So make me know wisdom in my inmost heart. Sprinkle me with hyssop, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Let me hear the sound of joy and gladness, so that the bones you crushed can rejoice. Turn away your face from my sins, and blot out all my crimes. Create in me a clean heart, God. Renew in me a resolute spirit. Don't thrust me away from your presence. Don't take your Ruach HaKodesh away from me. Restore my joy in your salvation, and let a willing spirit uphold me. Then I will teach the wicked your ways, and sinners will return to you. Rescue me from the guilt of shedding blood, God, God of my salvation. Then my tongue will sing about your righteousness. Yehovah, open my lips, then my mouth will praise you. For you don't want sacrifices, or I would give them. You don't take pleasure in burnt offerings. My sacrifice to God is a broken spirit. God, you won't spurn a broken, chastened heart. In your good pleasure, make Zion prosper. Rebuild the walls of Yerushalayim. It appears that Judges is going to be the main focus of Yehovah's perspective. Not surprising, really. But I will now cite where I'm reading from, and we'll discuss what we've seen. I will give a bit of background here. Judges is a rendition of the judges or rulers, or maybe governor would be the correct term, of Israel before King Shaul. Yehovah gave Israel every opportunity to have him as their king time and time again. They shied away from being in direct communication with Yehovah as Moshe was, and specifically asked Moshe to intercede, and that's the pattern that has ensued ever since. It is Yehovah's goal to be the king of Israel, and before it's all said and done, that's exactly what he will be. Therefore, each man would do according to Yehovah's wishes, not a man's wishes. Hence, when Moshe and Yehoshua were gone as the intercessors of Israel, he raised up many a God-fearing man to no avail. Israel cried out for a king like the other nations had. Kind of reminds me of a six-year-old. My little George has a PlayStation. I want one too. In that context, it seems quite forgiving of our God to raise up King Shaul. Yet even that was cursed, because we all know his demise. He died after consulting a sorcerer. We'll begin in Judges 4:1. But after Ehud had died, the people of Israel again did what was evil from Yehovah's perspective. So Yehovah handed them over to Yabin, king of Canaan. He ruled from Hazor, and the commander of his army was Sisera, who lived in Harosheth Hagoyim. The people of Israel cried out to Yehovah because he had 900 iron chariots, and for 20 years he cruelly oppressed the people of Israel. Judges 6:1. But the people of Israel did what was evil from Yehovah's perspective. So Yehovah handed them over to Midian for 7 years. Midian exercised its power harshly against Israel, and because of Midian, the people of Israel hid themselves in mountains, in caves, and in other safe places. Now this would be the time when Gideon was raised up. One time, after Israel's sowing season, Midian and the Amalek and others from the east attacked them. They set up camp by them and destroyed the produce of the country all the way up to Azah. They left nothing for the people to live on. No sheep, no oxen, no donkeys. For they came up with their cattle and tents, and they came in as thick as locusts. Both they and their camels were beyond numbering, and they came into the land to destroy it. Israel became very discouraged because of Midian, and the people of Israel cried out to Yehovah. Judges 10:6. Again, the people of Israel did what was evil from Yehovah's perspective. They served the Baalim, the Ashtaroth, the gods of Aram, the gods of Sidon, the gods of Moab, the gods of the people of Ammon, and the gods of the Philistine. They abandoned Yehovah and did not serve him. So the anger of Yehovah blazed against Israel, and he handed them over to the Philistine and the people of Ammon for 18 years. Okay, I'm going to back up here. I'm looking at 7 years, 20 years. In Judges 10, it's 18. Starting that year, they oppressed and persecuted all the people of Israel who lived beyond the Yarden to the territory of the Amorim and the Gilead. The people of Ammon also crossed the Yarden to fight Yehuda, Benjamin, and the house of Ephraim, so that Israel was greatly distressed. Here we can see all the punishment and travails that Israel was subject to regarding Yehovah's perspective, but it wasn't because they did not know. I have to share Deuteronomy 9, which is a rundown of the history of how Israel distressed their God in the first place and the anger that resulted. We would do well to heed, understand, think, ponder, learn, reflect on what happened then, because I say again, our God does not change. Please get your scripture and follow along with me. Open your Bible to Deuteronomy 9. I learned early in life, the more senses you use when learning, the more you will learn. This will use your sense of vision, touch, and hearing. That covers more than 50% of what we're given to learn with. So join with me now and see just how our God thinks. Isn't that a treasure? Deuteronomy 9. Listen, Israel, which we can just hear the Shema when he says that. You are to cross the Yarden today, to go in and dispossess nations greater and stronger than you, great cities fortified up to the sky, a people great and tall, the Anakim, of whom you know about and whom you have heard it said, who can stand before the descendants of Anak? Therefore, understand today that Yehovah your God will himself cross ahead of you as a devouring fire. He will destroy them and bring them down before you. Thus, you will drive them out and cause them to perish quickly, as Yehovah has said to you. Don't think to yourself after your God has pushed them out ahead of you, it is to reward my righteousness that Yehovah has brought me in to take possession of this land. Oh no, it is because these nations have been so wicked that Yehovah is driving them out ahead of you. It is not because of your righteousness or because your heart is so upright that you go in to take possession of their land, but to punish the wickedness of these nations that Yehovah your God is driving them out ahead of you. and also to confirm the word which Yehovah swore to your ancestors, Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. Therefore, understand that it is not for your righteousness that Yehovah your God is giving you this good land to possess, for you are a stiff-necked people. Remember, don't forget, repetition, how you made Yehovah your God angry in the desert from the day you left the land of Egypt till you arrived at this place you have been rebelling against Yehovah. Also in Horeb you made Yehovah angry. Yehovah was angry enough with you to destroy you. I had gone up to the mountain to receive the stone tablets, the tablets on which was written the covenant Yehovah had made with you. I stayed on the mountain 40 days and 40 nights without eating food or drinking water. Then Yehovah gave me the 2 stone tablets inscribed by the finger of God, and on them was written every word Yehovah had said to you from the fire on the mountain on the day of the assembly. Yes, after 40 days and nights, Yehovah gave me the 2 stone tablets, the tablets of the covenant. Then Yehovah said to me, get up, hurry down from here, because your people, I love this, your people whom you led out of Egypt have become corrupt. Did you hear what he said? So quickly have they turned aside from the way I ordered them to follow. They have made themselves a metal image. Moreover, Yehovah said to me, I have seen this people and what a stiff-necked people they are. Let me alone so that I can put an end to them and blot out their name from under heaven. I will make out of you a nation bigger and stronger than they. I came down from the mountain. The mountain was blazing fire, and the 2 tablets of covenant were in my 2 hands. I looked, and there, you had sinned against Yehovah your God. You had made yourselves a metal calf. You had turned aside quickly from the way Yehovah had ordered you to follow. I seized the 2 tablets, threw them out of my 2 hands, and broke them before your eyes. Then I fell down before Yehovah as I had the first time for 40 days and 40 nights, during which time I neither ate food nor drank water because of the sin you committed by doing what was evil in the sight of Yehovah and thus provoking him. I was terrified that because of how angry Yehovah was at you, of how heatedly displeased he was, that he would destroy you. But Yehovah listened to me at that time too. In addition, Yehovah was very angry with Aharon and would have destroyed him. But I prayed for Aharon also at the same time. I took your sin, the calf you had made, burned it up in the fire, beat it to pieces, and ground it up still smaller until it was fine as dust. Then I threw its dust into the stream coming down from the mountain. Again, at Taverah, Massa, and Kivarot HaTavarah, you made Yehovah angry. And when Yehovah sent you off from the Kadesh Barnea by saying, go up and take possession of the land I have given you, you rebelled against the order of Yehovah your God. You neither trusted him nor heeded what he said. You have been rebelling against Yehovah from the first day I knew you. So I fell down before Yehovah for those 40 days and nights, and I lay there because Yehovah had said he would destroy you. I prayed to Yehovah. I said, Yehovah Elohim, don't destroy your people, your inheritance. You redeemed them through your greatness. You brought them out of Egypt with a strong hand. Remember your servants, Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. Don't focus on the stubbornness of this people, or on their wickedness, or on their sin. Otherwise, the land you brought us out of will say, it is because Yehovah wasn't able to bring them into the land he promised them, and because he hated them that he has brought them out to kill them in the desert. But in fact, they are your people, your inheritance, whom you brought out by your great power and your outstretched arm. Listening to the overview of Moshe's intercessory prayer humbles me immensely. Moshe was truly distressed that Yehovah was willing and able to destroy in a single word these people that had been saved from the clutches of slavery, and that Yehovah himself had said would be his inheritance. We have a tough row to hoe if we think for a second that we will be recognized by name. We have to remember the very short list of parameters that have been mentioned here, as well as the myriad we will learn as we peruse scripture looking for the keys to the kingdom. Aifareka Yehovah Vaishmareka Yair Yehovah Panafaleka Vikuneka Yitha Yehovah Panafaleka Viyasemleka Shalom. May Yehovah bless you and keep you. May Yehovah make his face shine on you and show you his favor. May Yehovah lift his face toward you and give you peace.
All that is within me, Lord, I bless your holy name. I give my life to worship you alone. You brought me out of darkness and into your glorious light. Wherever I will sing of your great love. Wherever I will sing of your great love. I love to see you glorified, to see you lifted high. I yearn to see your nations bow there. You alone, Lord Jesus, who caused the coldest heart to find your love in everlasting peace. To find your love in everlasting peace. Oh.
trumpet will sound, and all the heavens will know that the time is finally come for your bride to take her place, and we'll hear the take a place, and we'll hear.